Open your Bibles anywhere you want to tonight. It's all good, amen? But let's start with the first book in the Bible, and we'll preach through all the books of the Bible through Malachi. That's going to be 39 of them. One old preacher was preaching that way, and he preached all he knew out of Genesis, and he preached through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges, and Ruth, and so forth. And he just got longer and longer and longer. And finally he come down to Malachi. And he says, now what are we going to do with Malachi? And some dear sister said, he can have my seat. I'm going on. Well, I'm not going to preach through Genesis and Malachi. But I want to talk to you tonight about persistency in prayer. And the great example is given to us in the intercessory prayer of Abraham in the Old Testament. Now let's turn first to chapter 15, and I'll read several verses as we go along tonight and go back to the call of Abraham, especially to leave his kin people and to move into the area that we should. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, as before he had the Ham added to his name, Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Oh, ought to be a prayer every day. Lord, make me a blessing. May I be a blessing. But you read on down, you see something unique about Abraham, or Abram in this particular setting. Verse 5 said, when they got to Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And here's what he did. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord. And then it says he called upon the name of the Lord. Go to verse 4 of chapter 13. Unto the place of the altar, I want you to go back, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. You go over to chapter 14. He heard about his nephew eventually getting kidnapped and that's his brother's son and the man who went down toward Sodom. And Abraham heard about that in verse 14, and he took some soldiers, went down and delivered him from his captivity. But you get back down to chapter 15, verse 1. And these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And you come over to chapter 17 and chapter 18, and we have some tremendous passages that deal with the great man, Abraham, who's the father of the faithful, who is the head of the Jewish nation, who God said, I'm going to bless you, and your seed shall be as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. And Abram was a great man, but there's a quality about him that you'll see over and over again in the Old Testament. Yes, he made some mistakes like all of us do. But you'll find a quality about Abraham, and you know he's recorded in chapter 11 as a man of faith who left his home, stepped out by faith not knowing where he was going to go, and God took him to what is called the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. And then when you come down to chapter 18, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And this is after the decree about he was going to have a child and so forth, and Hagar was given by Sarah because she thought she was too old to have a baby and had Ishmael. But and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, One of those three men was the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized. Remember, we've talked about in Joshua, it's called a Christophany or a Theophany or the pre-incarnate Christ appearing to somebody in the Old Testament. He didn't start in Bethlehem. He's always been. Never was a time when the Lord was not. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that were made by Him. And nothing that was ever made was not made apart from the hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful for that. But when you read these verses and you start looking at them a little more closely, when you get down to this particular story of the three men that appeared to him, and again, they talked about Sarah having a baby, verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which she was behind. She was listening in. She was, what do they call it, eavesdropping? Yeah, she was listening to the conversation going on inside. And now Abram and Sarah were old. They were at least 99. He was. Didn't have a baby until he was 100. And she was getting on up in age too. And Abram said, and Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. And we understand that. Therefore, Sarah laughed. What would you do? You say, that is totally impossible. Welcome to God. And he said, and the Lord said to Abraham, where did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of surety bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, she laughed not. She laughed. I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, now here's the vision. Shall I hide from Abraham? And there he calls him Abraham. The thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and a mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. I'll come back to that. And he shall command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Underscore that in your Bible. And Abraham drew near, underscore that in your Bible, and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Somebody subtitled this particular chapter, Lord, I'm asking one more time. I'm asking one more time. There's something in the Bible about persistent prayer, and most of you probably know the story, and I'll not rehearse it in great detail tonight. But sometimes we find that prayer is answered very quickly. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:30, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things. I mean, while you're praying, I'll answer the prayer. Isaiah 65:24. Behold, they call, I will answer him. While they are yet speaking, I will answer. Micah 6:8. Your father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Now look back over your life. Have you ever had a prayer answered immediately while you were praying? Now you may find a few along the way, but most of them are not. Most of them are repeated prayers before God. At other times, the answer does not come immediately. It's repeated going before the throne of grace over and over and over again. Someone used a little acrostic and called it push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. We're not supposed to be proverbial kids that ring a doorbell and run away, like some kids do playing the game on some neighborhood door. And they ring the bell and then they run and hide, or they're just playing a game. That's not what God's talking about. God said, I want you to pray. And you read in the New Testament over and over again, persistency in prayer. It's the word importunity. It means to keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. And when you look back over your life now, if you've been saving a little time, you've seen that God answered your prayer, and he doesn't always answer it the way you thought it should be answered. Sometimes he answers directly, as in Jeremiah 33:3. Sometimes he answers by denial and says no. Remember Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed, and God said no. You may pray for something, and once you have a no, there's no sense on keep asking God if he doesn't want you to do it, and you're satisfied that's the will of God, and somewhere along the way, that's something that has to be worked out in every individual's life. Now, sometimes it's a delay. It doesn't come right now. It may come later. Or the fourth one, it may be completely different, but he answered the prayer differently than how you prayed, but it was the right answer. So when we pray, our responsibility is to keep on praying, keep on pushing, keep on knocking on the heaven's door, and be persistent in our prayer life. And so Abraham is confronted with a situation. Abraham was a friend of God. As a matter of fact, he was favored of God. God called him to go into a land, and he was the father, as I said a while ago, of the Jewish nation. He was highly favored in the eyes of God the Father. He was a unique man in all of history, come out of heathenism, come out of the land of the earth, the Chaldees. And God called him, and he left and began a journey that God was leading him step by step. He was highly favored, and if anybody had a right to have his prayers answered immediately, it probably was Abraham. In addition to that, he was called three times in the Word of God, the friend of God. Only two men in the Bible are called the friend of God. That's Abraham and Moses, remember? God spoke to Moses as a friend. Now, I don't know why I'm sure he had others, but those two are picked out in scriptures of men who were a friend of God. I'd like to be a friend to God, would you not? Amen. Wouldn't it be good to be a friend to him? There's no song, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Well, he's a friend to us, and he was a friend to Abraham, and God was going to use him mightily and already made a covenant with him and gave him his word and said, nothing's too hard for me, and I'm going to bless your seed, and they'll be multiplied over and over again. And even when they got out of the will of God, he took Ishmael and blessed his seed. I mean, he had 12 tribes also, like Isaac would have 12. And so God blessed both of them, and you go all over the world tonight. God has blessed Abraham even among us Christians because we have a great respect for him who is the father of the nation of Israel, who was highly favored of God, and who is the friend of God. And so surely his prayers would be answered. I mean, why wouldn't his prayers be answered when he began to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah? Something unique hit me while I read this a few weeks ago. And I've read the chapter many times. I preached on it a lot of times. As a matter of fact, sometimes we get so wrapped up in hating sodomy, which is a terrible, defiling, vulgar sin, that we almost forget the sinner that's involved. I order something on the internet regularly, and it comes every few months, and there's some cosmetic stuff I use for shaving and so forth. But they come out today, maybe it was yesterday, maybe to yesterday. And they put, help us celebrate 2020 National Pride Time. Then I saw the rainbow colors over to the side. Help us, everything that you order, a portion of it will go to help those involved in the LGBT world. So I immediately went on the internet and I said, dear sir, I want to cancel my order from here on out because it violates biblical values for me and what I believe is wrong. And I please inform me that you are going to do that and let me know. And I don't want anything else from your company. What do you mean? But I can't give money to help something I'm against. And I got a letter back from him. He says, we're trying to help those who are struggling and we're sorry we lost you as a customer. We wish you'd reconsider. But there ain't no reconsidering. I'm not going to go back and use that stuff ever again. once I found out that they were supporting that. Now, there may be other things I'm using that support it too. If I find out, I'm just going to say the same thing and take a stand what I believe is right. But the fact is, Abraham did not pray for Lot to be delivered. God said, I'm going to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah plain cities. Their evilness has come up before me. And I'm going down with my fellow angels here. We're going to check it out. I think that's to help those down there to know how bad you are. And if you read the story in detail, you see how wicked and vile and dirty they are. But Abraham doesn't pray to deliver Lot, even though that may have been the back of his mind. When he began to pray, he said he prayed for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that city, I'm not sure how many thousands live there. Some put up maybe 250,000 people. It was the Las Vegas of its day, in the sin city of the Old Testament. And so here's Abraham, who had the right attributes. He was highly favored of God. He was faithful. He was a friend of God. And now he's beginning to pray. And he went from 50, started out, Lord, if you can find 50 righteous people in Sodom, would you spare it? And he said he drew near to God. Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, maybe in the back of his mind, he had his nephew in mind. But the Bible says, peradventure, there is 50 righteous within the city. Surely thou would not destroy. Would you spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? Now, this is a beginning of what we call intercessory prayer. He is pleading to the God of heaven and for some folks down in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and no doubt Abraham knew all about it. I mean, they were not that far away. They had kin people down there, and I'm sure he was aware of what was going on in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said, be it far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? See, he come to God with the right attitude. He came with humility. You read in his story previously, when the Lord showed up, Abraham took the role of a servant, went out and got a fatted kid or a cow and killed it, had his wife to fix some bread and some milk and fed them when they came. I mean, he was a servant. He would say, I am thy servant. Here was the greatest man probably in all of history and would be Abraham, who was a servant. And he drew near to the very heart of God. And because he was near the heart of God, he probably could almost hear the heartbeat of the Savior as he stood there talking to him. He was not trying to dictate nor to tell him what to do. He just simply said, I got to ask you. And I think God is not in opposition to us praying for folk to be saved and to be delivered. How many folks have you prayed for in recent days? How many do you have on your prayer list that you're praying for? Do you have 50 on your prayer list that you're praying for? Hopefully there's 50 righteous people there. How do you have 50 unrighteous people that you're praying for that they will be saved? Do you have 45? He come down to 45 and he said, Lord, if I find the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous, verse 26, within the city, and I'll spare all the places for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, which am but dust and ashes. Humility. I mean, he was willing to be decreased that the Lord may be increased like John the Baptist. He said, I'm just dust and ashes, but I'm asking one more time. See, all you are and all I am is a piece of mud. I'm just a mud ball, is what somebody said the other day. You're just dust. And that dust, you'll go back to dust after your life is over as far as your body is concerned. And he realized, I'm dust in the eyes of God. But I'm asking one more time. And he said, I'll spare it for 45 in verse 28. And he spake unto him yet again, said, peradventure, there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said to him, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. I think we got to get beyond this thing of being timid in talking to God. Did you know Moses argued with God? Moses literally argued with God. Now, I'm not a Moses, and I'm not Abraham. But I do think there are some principles there that I have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask God for something. He says, open thy mouth wide that I may fill it. God does not get upset at us for asking for that which we believe in our heart is right. Nothing wrong with that. And he saw some people down there that was in Sodom. Hopefully the whole city would be delivered. If there are just a few there, he's praying for the unsaved. If there's 45 righteous there, if there's 40 there, oh Lord, peradventure there's just 30. Would you spare it for 30? And the Lord said, I'll spare it for 30. He came on down to 20. Boy, you can imagine, I mean, after a while, what are you going to say? Come down to verse 31. And so, behold, now I have taken from me to speak of the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak yet, but this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And one of the most amazing verses in Holy Scripture as it relates to the story of the intercessory prayer of Abraham, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. He stopped at 10. Now, mathematically, many believe that if his family was saved, it would have been 10. His wife, he had two daughters at home. He had two daughters, maybe three or two that was... Some say he had two sons-in-law, some say three. But be it as it may, we may not know the exact figure, but surely, and he may have had some kids also, surely there's 10 righteous people in my own family. But if a place is so wicked and vile, and God is going to judge that place, I'm going to leave the answer up to God. And he walked away. He quit praying. I think in the back of his mind, there was a lot he was praying for. In the back of his mind, I think there was a Mrs. Lot that he was praying for. This is kin and blood that he loved dearly. It was his brother's son, and one that he cherished and wanted to be a help to, and already had delivered him one time from captivity when the enemy took him away. But now he's praying for that place where he lived. You see, he had the right attributes. He was favored of God. He was faithful to God, for God says, I know him. I circled that in my Bible. God said about Abraham, I know him. Now, I don't know what God says about you and what he says about me, but I know theoretically he knows me. He knows my name. He knows my address. He knows the number of hairs on my head and those that used to be there. He knows all about me, but does he know me intimately? You see, the difference sometimes between we who pray and those who really pray and push is the intimate relationship with God. You see, if God and Moses could talk as a friend, and God talked to him as a friend, and Moses even interceded on the time when he says, if you're not going to forgive these thy people, then blot my name out, knowing he could not. But still, he was willing to be. That my people and thy people can be delivered. You talk about intercessory prayer. And you'll find that several times in this story of Abraham, he fell on his face. He fell on his face before God. He wept, no doubt, before God. He interceded for somebody he cared about. He had the right attributes. He had the right attitude. Not praying selfishly. I'm praying for the whole city. If it could be spared, Lord, spare the whole city. Could America be spared tonight of 300 million? And the ratio began, Lord, could you spare it if there's 100? Sure, there's 100 righteous people in America. Don't you think so? Surely there's 1,000 righteous people in America. Don't you think so? Surely out of the 300 million, there's a million righteous souls. But I want you to understand, if there's a million righteous souls, that means 200 million are on their way to hell. That means the responsibility is heavy upon our hearts, and sometimes we don't pray. Now let's put it right down where the rubber meets the road and where we can just get it off the bottom shelf. We talk a good talk. If I asked you and you asked me and we were honest and we walk in our integrity, how is your prayer life interceding for people? Did God answer his prayer? Maybe not the way he thought it was going to be answered. Maybe he thought Lot was going to die down there. And who would know Lot was a saved man were it not for the New Testament? I mean, Abraham may have had some doubts about Lot. And the only way, especially some of the things he did. My soul, he committed one of the most despicable things a daddy could ever do. To offer his children, his girls, to those of sodomy. And so these men who came down there, including the Lord, would not be messed with. Can you imagine the young and the old, and that's what the Bible says, the young and the old gathered there at the door of Lot and said, who are the strangers in there? Send them out that we may know them. That means to have sex with them. And Lot was terrified and maybe petrified. And maybe we could justify what he was saying, but he's talking about the Lord of glory. Now, not knowing all that we know and not knowing all that perhaps anybody would ever know about the situation, the Lord can take care of himself. I mean, he doesn't need Lot to protect him. As a matter of fact, when they barged down the door, you know, they're coming in to get him, and the Lord just pulled him back in there, the Lot and his family, and struck them with blindness. God can take care of himself. The Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. He was vexed with the conversation daily of Sodom and Gomorrah. He got in leadership, and some think he may have been even the mayor or at least some position in Sodom and Gomorrah because, remember, he pitched his tent there, and it was fertile land, and it was a beautiful place to live, and a lot of excitement, and you read what he lost. It's terrible. And even when they were coming down to the end, the destroying angels were going to bring down fire and brimstone. They had to get him by the hand and take him out of the city. Abraham prayed for 10 righteous. Only 4 went out. And his wife, whose heart was still in Sodom, when they got outside the city and it was going up in flames and smoke and being destroyed, she could hear the cry of her other daughters. She was a mother. Her heart was still there. And the Bible says, don't look back. And she turned and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. And the only thing in the New Testament says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And of course, the two daughters escaped with their daddy. The next chapter was even worse in their life when incest became part and parcel of Lot's life. But my whole message tonight is this. Abraham had the right attributes. He could have had his prayer answered, you think, just like that. He had the right attitude. He was humble and he was reverent. He said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? And Lord, I'm just asking. I'm pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. And he had the right approach. He was in the presence of God, and he was aware of God's will. He knew that God taught not any would perish, but all could come to repentance. I believe they knew that in the Old Testament. I believe that Abraham was counted righteous in the eyes of God by his faith, that he believed what God said. And it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake, and that means that Abraham was saved man. And he was talking to the God of heaven in a theophany, in a Christophany, and there the Lord was right next to him. And he's pleading his case. I simply leave with us tonight. Will you persist or will you resist? Will you keep praying or will you give up? For I have read and I have heard, and I think it's true, what you really want, you won't quit praying for. You see, if you pray a few prayers and then you drop it by the wayside, did you really want her? Just saying words. Are there any prayers on your prayer request sheet like George Mueller, who prayed 62 years for two men to be saved? I wonder. Go home tonight, or if you're there at the house, the next time you're alone with God and you look at your prayer list, you say, I don't have one. Could I suggest you make one? You'll say, but preacher, I just try to remember them as they come to me. I don't know about you, but I have trouble remembering sometimes some folks. It don't always come back to my mind. But if I have it written down, I don't have to. But it sure does help us to pray when you're going over a list of folks and you're praying for them. And you look back and the years had passed. You say, well, I'm going to keep asking. Why do you keep asking? I believe God's going to answer the prayer. Then that's called importunity. You cannot give up. We cannot give out. We cannot give in. There's some folks in our families that are at stake. There's people in our social circle that's at stake. And when we look at them, it shall remind us of the fact they are eternal soul for whom Jesus died for. And if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. I'm talking about our kids. I'm talking about our grandkids. I'm talking about our neighbors. I'm talking about our kin people. You say, well, preacher, what should I do? I suggest that we all, if you've got a good memory, that's fine. But you ought to have a prayer list that begins with your family and spreads out. And it ought to be, when Jesus wept over the city, he wept over the entire city of Jerusalem. There ought to be some of us somewhere along the way who expand our prayers and begin to pray intercessory prayers for America, or we're gone. And I don't know how much longer God is going to tolerate the wickedness of America and the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Righteousness exalts a nation, and we're not trying to be against anybody. I think adultery is sin. I think fornication is sin. I think lesbianism is sin. I think homosexuality is sin. I believe drunkenness is sin. I believe pride is sin. You can list any sin you want to put in there. And when you get over to Ezekiel, you'll find one of the big sins in Sodom was their pride. As much as their defilement and their wickedness. Sometimes we expect God to answer us when we pray. Well, God didn't answer Abraham when he just prayed like that. And if anybody should have had answers, it could have been him. Often we just got to keep persisting. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Luke 21:36. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 120 in the upper room prayed 10 days before the day of Pentecost came, waiting on what they weren't sure was going to happen. But they knew the promise that it was going to happen, so they prayed for 10 days. 120 folks gathered to pray. D.O. Moody was prayed for by others for 2 years. Two women prayed for him. God, put your hand on D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody said something unusual happened. He said, I ran to my room to try to get away from it. It's like the hand of God was on me. And I'm not saying we're trying to be a D.L. Moody, but two women pray for the power of God. And D.L. Moody said, I preached the same sermons I've always preached, but it was different. Because two women for 2 years prayed that D.L. Moody would have the power of God on his life. D.L. Moody was a great man. But thank God for two people who interceded for him. I mentioned George Mueller, who prayed those 62 years. 2 years. 62 years for two men. One got saved right before George Mueller died, and George Mueller lived to be 90-some. And history says George Mueller recorded every prayer that was answered. And I think it was like 30 or 40,000 prayers in his journal where God answered his prayers. If we have 30 or 40 prayers answered, we feel like we're doing well. But over his period of lifetime, 30 or 40,000 answers that were inscribed. And somebody after George Mueller died learned this other man got saved that George Mueller had prayed for a lifetime. So God didn't answer his prayer till after he died. I simply submit to you tonight, what's of value to you and what's in value to me? If Abraham persisted in prayer, and I believe when he walked away from God, or better still, when God walked away from him, and Abraham knew the prayer was over, he knew God would do right because he was just. He left it with God. You can't make anybody get saved. You can't make anybody live right. You can't convince them and twist their arm. But I'll tell you what we do have. We have the privilege to go up to the God of heaven, draw near to him. I am thine, O Lord. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Let me get close to you. And then, Lord, may I pray for what you would pray for if you were here. And then I'm glad the Lord prayed for me. I'm glad he is the intercessor who is at the right hand of God the Father, and Jesus Christ intercedes for us. And he says, I want you to have the ministry of intercession. Intercession. So I'm challenging you tonight. You listen to my voice. I'm challenging me. God forbid that I would preach to you and not do it myself. But take that list and spend a little more time over it, because they have nobody else. If somebody don't plead for this generation, we're going to lose a generation. I may also say, we're one generation away from extinction. What's going to happen if this generation is not one to Christ? Talking about the younger generation. What's going to happen to our churches? We'll have a nice building. It may be full of people, but there's no worship of God. Have a name that you're alive, but you're dead before Jesus comes. I trust our church will be a little different and be on the cutting edge. So if you're listening to my voice tonight, somebody in that house needs your prayers, and thank God you're praying for them. Don't give up. Don't may not come tomorrow. Don't give up. The next day you keep praying and praying. And there ought to be an intensity about our prayer life. Not a lack of, but more of. Would you pray for me that I can intercede for folks? Can I see them in my mind's eye? I can look down at the list and read some people's names. Take those names to God in prayer. However many you may have, you may not be able to pray for all of them every day, but I'm going to tell you, the closer they are to you, the more you're going to pray for them. And I close. We support missions. We're highly in favor of missions. I'm grateful that missionaries have been the recipient of some prayers and some funds from our place. And yet many of those folks I never know, will never know, in foreign lands. And so it's difficult for me to pray for them by name and by face. Lord, you bless this missionary and give him fruit for his labor, and you intercede for the missionary. But then when it comes down to our prayer life and you start listing those that's precious on your heart, we enjoy the Christian life, but there ought to be a burden that we carry all the time. Do you not agree? And that burden should be able to take names that we know, because with their name is a face. And across the mental waves of your brain go their names. And they should hang upon our heart and say, Lord, would you save them before it's everlasting? Too late. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to talk about a great man. His name was Abraham. But it's not the man that made the difference. It's had a great God. And Lord, how you delivered Lot, some of his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they did not burn up. And Lord, I don't know all the story behind it. I don't know if his wife was a Christian or not, but she was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe she made a terrible mistake that day. Somebody's daughters, Lord, they had so much of Sodom in them. They devised a plan to keep the seed going with their own father. Oh God, our world is a mess. Our nation is in disarray. We're calling sin something that's good and right. And that which is good and right, we're calling it sin. We're looking through the eyes of a world that hates God and hates the Bible and hates Jesus. And yet the Lord looks at the same people and loves every one of them. And he's not willing that anybody who's in opposition to us goes to hell. They may persecute us. They may even kill us. But the Lord would forgive them if they got serious about their life and cried out for mercy. So may, Lord, we realize that people are precious and you're in the people business. Teach us to be a better intercessor. Strike our hearts with not only sympathy, but with empathy, that we care, and may we be willing to share. And Lord, prayer is the greatest weapon we have as a Christian to bring conviction down, is to go before the God who's able to bring conviction. And Lord, may you save sinners, and may our lives be blessed because we prayed near to the heart of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.